He has a prostitute in the Hall of Fame of Faith, loved one. Why? I don't care what we've done. I don't care what kind of life we've lived. But when we honor God and believe in Christ Jesus, I'm telling you what, everything changes. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Greetings, everyone. We're delighted you've tuned in today for Pastor Bill's continuing study of the Epistle of Hebrews. Today, we'll see some of the unsurmountable circumstances the early believers endured through and by their faith in God. Now, Pastor, with part two of By Faith.
They would take a newborn baby and place that newborn baby in a jar alive, and they would cut a hole in their wall and put that baby in the wall and brick it back up as an offering to their gods. They sacrificed their own children. You want to know what the Canaanites were really like? Read Leviticus chapter 18. You will see the sexual sins, unbelievable people. Now, if I was the sisters or the brothers, if I was the mom or the dad, I'd be probably saying to Rahab, now wait a minute, we're going to look at that scarlet cord, and you're trying to tell me that when they see that, they're going to spare our lives. Are you following me? Man, listen, I'm going to tell you, Rahab was a woman, and she was a woman of great faith. She says, I'm going to trust those men. They gave me a true token. When they see this scarlet cord, they're not going to kill us. They're going to spare us. I want to ask you a question. You know, sin is sin, okay? You know, we can say, oh, she was a harlot. Well, you know what? You can remove that. Sin is just sin. You know, but were her sins scarlet as scarlet? Of course. Were ours? Absolutely, loved one. But listen to me. What I love about God, he's so good to us. You know, Rahab is not being remembered about how many men she slept with or loved. You know what I'm trying to say? She's remembered as a woman of faith, a woman that believed God, and a woman that was in love with the Lord. Amen? That's what we see in our scripture. Listen, it says in Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, just like Rahab, well, they'll be white as snow, though they be red like crimson. In other words, glaring at us, open for evident for everybody to see. God says, oh no, they shall be as wool. By faith, Rahab, the harlot, man, listen, didn't perish with those who did not believe. She survived because by faith she believed God. Listen to me. Would you say, as we study the people in the Hall of Fame of Faith, would you believe that she is an incredible example of faith? I mean, it's kind of like, really, Lord? I mean, you just choose everybody, right? And that's what he's done. Listen, number one, was she a Gentile? Yes. Was she a Canaanite? Yeah, and she was a Canaanite prostitute. And I'm saying, oh, Lord, she was also something else. She was the first Canaanite person to be saved in Canaan. Boy, God is so good. You know what she did? There she was, all that she'd done. And that's the way we have to do it. Same thing. She took her eyes off of what she had done and who she was and the lifestyle that she lived. And she turned away from self and looked to the only true and living God who would wipe every sin out. Amen? Amen. And that's what he has done for you. That's what he has done for me, loved one. And here's the deal. You know, I always ask myself when I study the Bible, when I teach the Word of God, what does Rahab teach us? Well, I'll tell you what it teaches me. Number one, it teaches me the incredible, thank God, the incredible grace of the living God. The unmerited, undeserved, unearned, divine favor of the living God. It also teaches me something else, the incredible forgiveness of God. Oh, do you know how God, our Father, is so willing and so ready right this second to wash away our sins? Do you know that? Oh, loved one, he is right this minute. He's so ready to forgive us. But you know what Rahab teaches me is that by faith, God rewarded her because God is a rewarder of those who believe. Amen? And you know what he did? Listen, she turned away. I mean, had she turned away from the plan of God? She would have never walked in the things of God, and neither will we. Okay? You know, we know that Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For we who come to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen? Now, so you say, well, God is a rewarder. Bill, what did God reward her with? Well, number one, she was saved, right? Number two, she was taken into with the children of Israel. She was no longer in Jericho because everybody died in Jericho, right? Okay. But what did God do? Let me read her reward that God did for her. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Do you realize that Rahab is in the genealogy of Jesus Christ our Lord? That she became an ancestor of Jesus. Think about that. Let me read it to you. And Salmon beget Boaz by Rahab. It doesn't say by Rahab the harlot. That's gone now. Amen. You know, it says, oh yeah, that's washed away. It says by Rahab, and Boaz, Rahab's son, listen to what he did. Well, he beget Obed by Ruth. And Obed beget Jesse. And Jesse brought forth David, the king of Israel. Amen. And from the king of Israel, the promise that was Nathan the prophet, God spoken to him about upon the throne, your throne, the throne of David, there will be a king forever and ever. Remember? Well, who was that? Who is the king? Jesus. So from her all the way down came our Savior Jesus Christ. And what does it say about Jesus our Lord in Matthew 1:21? For he himself will save his people from their sins. Wow, wow. What a privilege, what a reward God entrusted to her. Now, look back to Hebrews with me and look at verse 32. And between verse 31 there, 32, you know, remember this, Joshua is now dead, okay? He's gone. And between this time period, and the children of Israel, they didn't go in and possess the land, all of it, like they could have. They didn't do it, but they started mingling with the Canaanites, and all of a sudden God was punishing them. So it says in verse 32, the writer says, and what more shall I say? Or he's really saying, okay, enough has been said. If you don't get it by now, you're never going to get it, okay? Enough has been said, for the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, Barak, and Samson, Jephthah, also David, Samuel, the prophets, and so forth. Now, we have all these names, but we don't have any details that are given, none at all, and that's fine. But there's four names that I just want you to cue in on just for a moment, and those names are Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, because they came at a time of the darkest period of the children of Israel. And it was called the days of the judges, okay? That God would punish them for 40 years because of sin, then he'd raise up a deliverer to save them from whoever was punishing them, you know, whatever king or whatnot. So it says in Judges 21:25, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes, kind of like in America today. Now look at the first one quickly. I'm just going to briefly talk about these before we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Gideon, you can study Gideon out in Judges chapter 6 through chapter 8, okay? Great story, because God is so good. He is just so good. You know, he assured Gideon over and over and over, listen, you are going to be victorious over the Midianites. But you know what? He was like we are so many times. He was slow to act on the promises of God. Matter of fact, do you know that God told him, if you read the whole story, God told him four times, you're going to be victorious over the Midianites, okay? I've told you four times. I'm paraphrasing that part. Now, and then finally, the Lord came to him and spoke to him and said, listen, he says, surely I will be with you. What would you do if God spoke to you right now and you have a war that's coming, army? Surely I will be with you. You know what Gideon did? He heard it. God says, surely I will be with you. What did Gideon do? He asked God for a sign. He said, can you give me a sign? You know, hello? I mean, I'm going, okay, Gideon, you got a big problem. Now, read the story of Gideon's 300. You'll know how God did it. Remember the trumpets and the torches and all those things, the sword of the Lord and Gideon? Now, let's look at Barak. He's in Judges 4 and 5. Now, he won a great victory over King Jabin of Canaan, okay? Incredibly huge, gigantic army, 900 chariots he had of iron. But Barak had a problem. I don't want to say he was a sissy, but he had a problem. He kind of hid behind a woman's dress. I hope that's not offensive to anybody. And no, I mean, just, you know what I'm saying? Because he had to have Deborah. Deborah was the judge of Israel. She was also a prophetess. She was also called the mother of Israel. He said, I'm not going to do anything unless you're with me. Well, what's your role, man? You got a problem. Are you a mama's boy? I mean, what's the deal here? So let me read it to you. Judges 4:6. And then Deborah sent and called Barak, the son of Ahinoam, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded? He says, go deploy the troops, man. What's wrong with you? I'm adding to scripture right now. In other words, God's already given you the word. Why don't you go and do what he says? The Lord's going to be with you. And then he said, okay, well, and she said, take 10,000 troops with you, and against you will deploy against the commander of Jabin's army, and his chariots and the multitude. And God says, I will deliver him into your hand. Now, but God's word wasn't enough. Listen, so Barak said to Deborah, okay, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. This is in the Bible, folks. I mean, you know, I'm going, okay, Barak, you got a problem. You have a visual mama with you, okay? You got to have her by your side and near to you. And then finally, Deborah prophesied to him again, and he left and went into the battle. Of course, the Lord won the battle for him, but at least he went by faith. Amen? Now, let's look at Samson. You can read Judges 13 through 16 later, and he judged Israel for 20 years. And the time of the Philistines, we know that. Now, he was a miracle baby. And the reason I say that, his mama was barren. Let me give you the scripture. Judges 13:3. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, hey, indeed, now you're barren. You've never borne any children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor will come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. Now, this, of course, Samson. And listen to what God says. And he will begin to deliver Israel. He doesn't deliver Israel from the Philistines, okay? But he will at least start doing that. Now, we all know the stories of Samson. We know that how he killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. Amen? Yeah, we know all of that. But did Samson have a problem? He had a problem. In other words, he had a problem with women. Especially ungodly women, okay? In other words, man, he was bold before men, but boy, when it came around girls, it was just, he was weak. He fell apart. So Samson, he could conquer the Philistines. You could even read where he tore a lion in half, but he could not conquer his own lust and appetites, okay? Now, let me set this up before we get to Judges 16:4. That's where we're going to be. In Judges 14:1, now Samson went down to Timnah. I told you he had a woman problem. Here it comes. And he saw a woman, of the Philistines. So he went up and told his mom and daddy, okay? He says, go get this girl for me. I want her to be a wife, okay? Judges 16:1. Now Samson went down to Gaza, and he saw a harlot there, and he went into her. Now he didn't go in there to lead her to Jesus, okay? Now, are y'all with me? Okay. Now, are you at Judges 16:4? Afterward, it happened. Say that, it happened. It happened. What happened? Uh-oh. Oh, Samson, he fell in love. Watch this. He loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came to her and said, oh, listen, entice him, find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him, afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, honey, please, tell me where your great strength lies, and what may you be bound to afflict you? Now listen to me. I told the first service, I said, it's been said that men listen with only half a brain. And it has to be true, because this is proof right here. He heard the first part, but he didn't hear the second part. Look at the first part. Honey, honey, please, tell me where your great strength lies. Well, I'll tell you about it, you know. And see, he didn't catch this, and what will make you bound and afflict you? Now, I don't have time to keep reading more of the scriptures, but we know what happened. Delilah did something. She pressed him day after day after day after day. And, you know, and he lied to her and lied, no, no, no. And then finally it vexed him so much, it just vexed his soul. He couldn't handle it anymore. So go to verse 17. And then what did Samson do? Oh, he told her all of his heart. And he said to her, okay, here it is. No razor has ever come upon my head, for I've been a Nazarite. I've been separated to God, in other words, from my mother's womb. If I'm shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like other men. And so when Delilah saw that he told her all of his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come at once, for he's told me all of his heart. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. And then she did something as she was counting her money. It says she lulled him to sleep on his knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. And then she began to torment him. That's love, isn't it? And his strength left him. And she said, oh, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out before like other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. That was his strength. Amen. Then the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, bound him with bronze feathers, and he became a grinder in the prison. Verse 22, this is a great word. However, that's when God is starting to do something different. However, the hair of Samson's head began to grow again, and after it had been shaven. Now listen, we know the rest of the story. Now Samson is caught, the killer of all the Philistines. And all of a sudden, all of the Philistines, they throw this great party and they're offering sacrifices to their god Dagon. And they're rejoicing and so forth. They're in the big temple. There's 3,000 plus whatever people there. And now we go to Samson's last words and last prayer. Look at verse 25. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry, the Philistines, they were all drunk, that they said, oh, call for Samson that he may perform for us. Now, Samson is blind, so people would go out into the arena and they would torment him or make sport of him. And it says, and they stationed him between the pillars. And then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them. And now the temple was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. Here it comes. And then Samson called on the Lord. Samson's praying, going to pray. He says, oh Lord, I've blown it. You know what I've done. You know how I've sinned. You know all my failures. And he says, would you remember me, I pray? Would you strengthen me, I pray? Just one more time. Just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take the vengeance on the Philistines from my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple. He braced himself against them, one on his right, the other on his left. And then Samson prayed. He said, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all of his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. Did Samson fail? But in the end, did he walk by faith? Yes. Now look quickly. We just have a little bit of time. Look at Jephthah. That's Judges 11 and 12. And he judged Israel 6 years. Now listen, just read his story. You want to hear a great story. Number one, he was the son of a prostitute. Then he was rejected by his family. His own brothers kicked him out because they were half brothers. He got no inheritance. He was rejected by his family. He fell in with worthless people and he was leading them. That's the kind of God uses, okay? And then guess what God did? God used him to defeat the people of Amnon, and he did it by faith. Now, David, I don't need to even say anything about David, do I? Just start reading at 1 Samuel chapter 15. Just keep reading. Now, listen, we know David as a teenager. Who did he kill? Goliath. Cut his head right off. That's the kind of guy you want to hang with. Amen? Amen. And not only that, the Bible says he was called the sweet psalmist of Israel. How many psalms are there in the Bible? 150. How many did David write? 75. One of our favorites, the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Now, not only that, God called David in Acts chapter 13, 22. He says, David, a man after my own heart who will do all of my will. David, the greatest king of Israel, not only the greatest king, he was the greatest military leader of all of Israel. He loved the Lord, and yet from him, did Jesus come? Yes. But let me ask you a question. Did David fail? But he was a man after God's own heart. But did he do something to his most trusted warrior? What was his name? Uriah. What did he do? He sent him to the front of the battle, had him killed. Why? Because he got his wife pregnant, Bathsheba. So David had failed. And then it says Samuel and all the prophets. Okay, Samuel was the last judge, the first of the prophets, okay? Now, I said all of that about all these people. Why do you think God put all that in there for us? To see the failures? And, you know, we laugh a little bit, but we see ourselves, don't we? Did you notice something about every one of God's people that he called, that he loves, the ones that walk by faith? Did they all have problems? No matter how great they were, did they all have failures? All of them did. We don't walk in failure, do we? No, oh, loved one, listen to me. But what did they do? They continued. They died in faith. They died believing God. I don't know about you, but that gives me great hope. And it gives me great encouragement because I'm not a man that hasn't failed. Do you understand me? And I say, oh, God. So listen, God, whom God saves, who God calls, God also uses. And you know what he uses? He uses imperfect people that trust him. And then they turn around because of faith in him. They do great things for God. Oh, listen. The Bible tells us that we need to be living the adventure, loved one. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:26, for you see your calling, brethren. Okay, what is it? Well, not many wise according to the flesh. I mean, in other words, God says, yeah, I called you, but you're not very smart. Doesn't that build your self-esteem up? He says, yeah, I called you, but I didn't call any of you that are mighty. There's not many of you are mighty. And not many that are noble are called. What does that say? It's saying that just like in the old covenant, God calls the most unlikely people who believe him, and then they do great things through him in every generation. Loved one, God has called Calvary. God has called each of you. If you're in Christ Jesus, he has called you, he has saved you, and he wants to use you and chose you for this generation. Not because you have anything going for you, not because you're smart, or not because you have great ability or no ability, not because you're strong or because you're weak. You can do nothing without Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? No. And I say, oh Lord, listen to me. That just told me something. We're reading the Hall of Fame of Faith. We don't have one excuse. We have more information than they did. More of God's Word. We don't have any excuse. The just shall live by faith. And you know, like I told the early service, we live in a generation of the world, but a generation also of Christians. And they don't live the adventure. They don't live the adventure. They go watch the adventure. You know, come on. Star Wars. You know, come on. Superheroes. You know, what's a superhero? What is the name? Spider-Man. I almost spit when I said that. Spider-Man, Iron Man, Dumb Man, Crummy and Dummy Man. I don't know. Batgirl. What is a Batgirl? And there's so many Christians, you young people, get mad at me. It's okay. Email Pastor Marshall. You know, listen. No. The thing is that you, some of you, and I love you, I'm speaking the truth by love, but you know more about superheroes than the true superhero. God says, look to me. You want to have an adventure. You know, we don't need Superman. I don't need remember, the adventures of Superman, able to leap tall buildings, single bound. I don't know the rest. Oh, it's faster than a speeding bolt. Where does the locomotive come in? More powerful than a locomotive. You got it. Ooh, that's prophecy. Come on, guys. Are we going to live the adventure? Are we going to really move into revolution? If you want that, then you know what? I don't have to go sit and watch the adventure. I don't have to go watch Harrison Ford. Is he still alive? You know what I mean? When I can go to the throne of grace, when I can walk in the Holy Spirit, amen? When I can believe the promises of God. All right, I'm going to confess too, like I told the early service. Last night, I went and wrote all that down because I was watching Winnie the Pooh. That's right. And I'm kind of getting tears in my eyes, and I'm going, I love this movie so much. You know, and I was thinking how wonderful it would be to crawl through that tree and go into that land of 100 acres or whatever it's called. And never mind. I did. I'm a sissy. Not really, but I love that movie. And I went in and I wrote it down right there, what I just said to you. You know, listen, the just shall live by faith. You do that, you're going to have the adventure of God. Amen.
Well, yes, the Word of God is so good. We want to thank you for listening today. And just a reminder, the pastor's study of Hebrews continues tomorrow, and we hope to see you once again. My name is Brian Whitaker. Be blessed today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.